Accession number 23364, Reel 1.
Colonel John McGregor interviewing RSM Harry Wharton on the 28th of September 1999. RSM, can you tell me where and when you were born?
I was born in India, in Visakhapatnam, the Madras Presidency. In 1914, my father was RSM of the Cheshire Regiment, stationed, as the last time I remember, was in Nainital in India. I lost my mother in India, and I had two sisters and a brother born in India. We were all born in India. And we came home, I think, in 1922. My father was ill, and he'd retired, and he had the problem of seeing that we were brought up by relatives until he got out of hospital. He had a rheumatic ailment from the tropics. But I don't remember much at that time of India. Little I remember the Ayers and the Babaji and all these people, but we lived at that time when we came home in a place called Middlewich in Cheshire. That's where my father came from and my mother came from, and we settled there until we got school leaving age. And then my two sisters went to work in Manchester in business, and they left my brother and I and my father in the house. And then later on, when I was in my 20s, I decided to join the army. I think it must have been born in me because of my father being an RSM. He was very strict. He was even strict with us. In the winter, he didn't say, "Come on, it's time to get up." He just grabbed the bedclothes and walked out the room with the bed and no central heating. So that was a sort of upbringing. So that when I joined the army...
1934?
It wasn't...
1935.
It wasn't difficult. I enjoyed the army, yes. Right from the first day.
Yes.
I, in fact, won the squad PT badge in the depot. But army life to me wasn't difficult. I've been brought up very strictly under discipline, and it came natural to me.
And what made you join the regiment? What was your connection?
What made me join the regiment was I met a chap, an ex-sergeant of the Black Watch in Manchester, where my elder sister was a window dresser,
yes.
A big clothing firm. And he came from that, and he told me about the Black Watch and everything. And I got very interested. So I didn't want to join my father's regiment. So I joined the Black Watch. But when I tried for the Black Watch in the first instance, the recruiting officer in Manchester, tried in Manchester, the big recruiting centre, he said, "Oh, they're full up, there's no vacancies." I said, "Well, I'll wait till there is vacancies," because I was out of work anyway. And I stayed with my elder sister, who lived then in Manchester, in Cromsall. And every two or three days, I went down to the recruiting office, and the recruiting sergeant said, "There's no vacancies, they're full up. You better join in the Cheshire Regiment." I said, "I don't want the Cheshire Regiment. I want the Black Watch." He says, "Well, what's your second choice?" I said, "The Green Howards." The reason for that was my name is actually Howard, not Harry. The army christened me Harry. And I said that. So anyway, after about 10 or 12 days, I went down And he says, all right, there's your pass up to Perth, to the Black Watch. When I got to the depot here in Perth, they were just forming a squad. They hadn't got a squad in the depot. You see, so he was trying a column to get me in, but it didn't work. So I walked into the Queen's Barracks in Perth, and along a side of me going in was a fellow named Buss from Stanley. And him and I were friends from that moment. We were in the same squad, and he was captured in Crete. And he's gone now. But we were friends until I started going up the promotion ladder. Then I rather left him behind. Of course, in those days, pre-war, discipline was very strict, and you couldn't mix with a private if you were a lance corporal or a corporal.
Yes.
Different it is now.
Oh, yes.
So our friendship broke, but we were always friends throughout the life. And when he was taken prisoner in Crete, and when he came back to Perth, I was at the depot in the first instance on a 2-year tour of duty in 1944. And we were friends. Now, his father was an RSM of the Black Watch, one of the territorial battalions. And I remember we used to go up to his house on a Sunday. We were recruits in the depot, and it's 6 months in the depot then. And he used to say, right, stand over there, you two, turn around, and we're in kilt. And he used to inspect us, so your whole tops are too low or you're too high. And in fact, when I look back, it was the finest thing that ever happened.
Oh, yes.
We were recruits, and he treated us both alike. Yeah. So that's how I joined the watch. Yeah.
And what were your first impressions of the army?
My first impression?
Yes.
In the depot, it was very strict. I had a very good squad sergeant, Sergeant Wogden. One of the best leg dresses I ever saw in a kilt was Sergeant Wogden. He had a leg for a kilt. And I enjoyed life. That's why I won the PT badge. I enjoyed life in the depot. And always looked forward to going to the battalion. And I kept in touch with my father. And with having no mother, we weren't very close at all. And the first time I went home in the kilt before I went abroad, it was rather amusing. He'd walk out, he'd say, you're going out in uniform. I said, oh yes, we're expected to go out in uniform on leave. I was on embarkation leave. And I remember now glancing to him, and he was using his stick, he had a stick, like a pay stick.
Yes.
Because I was in uniform, yeah. It came natural to him, yes. To what he was.
Yeah.
And he used to always want me to go out in uniform with him, you see. So that's how life was with me. I enjoyed life. I enjoyed it abroad. I enjoyed it everywhere I went.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now take the story on to your first. Take the story on to your first overseas posting.
I don't think I have ever had a dull time in the army. I never had a dull time. Because I was going up the promotion ladder, and I was learning all the time, and I was very keen, and that's how life was.
Now then, to take me on to the time you were posted to the battalion.
Well, when the posting came to the battalion, it was to Maryhill Barracks. And I remember going into the barracks in Maryhill, and it looked like a huge prison. It was four or five blocks, three or four stories high, A company, B company, and so on. And the square, the blocks looked onto the square, and at the far end was a horse transport at that time. And I remember the sergeant of the horse transport was a Sergeant Hookie Walker, little fellow. The RSM was Jimmy Finley. The CO was Lieutenant Colonel McLeod. The adjutant was, I think, Madden. And I was posted to B Company. And the morning after I arrived in Maryhill, I was interviewed by the company commander, who was a Major Hay. Now, I didn't know Major Hay until I walked into his office, or marched into his office. He was sitting in a chair behind a desk, and he was the same height as me as I stood. And when he got up to shake hands, I realized he was nearly 7 feet. Rather a shock. And my sergeant major was, company sergeant major, it was Dunningham, one of these two, a small man. And I enjoyed my life in Maryhill. It was great. And I used to hear him shouting in the morning, downstairs the Indian draft. That was when they were drafting troops to India. And being, I knew I was born in India, and I thought, oh, I must get on a draft to India. But I need to, because years later the battalion was posted to India many years ago. So anyway, I found Glasgow a strange city. I'd heard about razor slashing and bottle bashing and gang warfare and everything, but I didn't meet it until I was on guard duty one night as a lance corporal. I was very quickly made a lance corporal, and I was changing the sentries in Maryhill Barracks about 3 o'clock in the morning or so. And this fellow came in the gate with blood running from his face. And that was my first experience of the bottle in the face. And we whipped him into the guard room and got a medical orderly. We didn't get the medical officer, we got a medical orderly who dressed him up and cleaned him up and everything. But that was the first case I saw of that, you see. But in a way, it did me a lot of good, because after that, I thought anything can happen at night on duty in the guard duty, so to be alert at all time. And I always looked on these things to give me a lesson in soldiering. And then I got to know about the transport, and I used to do a bit of boxing in civvy life, a lightweight. So I entered the B Company boxing team in the annual boxing, and I got a medal. I forget whether it was a winner or a loser. I got a medal, and but I didn't get very far in it. But I got on well in the company. I was very loyal to my company, and of course, Bus, who were friends, he was still with me. And when I look back, how did we wash in the morning in cold water and shower in cold water, and we only got a bucket of coal a week, so we could heat up a tin of hot water for shaving, but that tin did about 10 it was thick by the time. But I often look back and say, I don't know how I managed to get up in the morning and wash down and everything, shave in the cold, and then out on parade. But I think because my mind was made on soldiering, I took it all in. That's why. I don't think if I'd have been not been the son of a soldier, I would have taken it as well. But that's it. But at home, before I joined the army, I used to come down and we all had jobs, my sister and I, and I had to clear the fireplace and all this. And we used to it.
Came routine. It was routine.
It was my life. And right from the very start, I intended to do pensionable service, have a pension. Now, right from then, I look back. I wasn't interested in a commission. I wanted to equal my father as RSM. And that's what I soldiered for, all through my life. And I don't think I was ever charged, because as I went up each rank, so less people could charge me. That's how I looked at it. And I don't think I was ever charged at all. And the man that was on duty when I reported in the depot from England was a fellow named Corporal Rutherford. And him and I became good friends in later life. I mean, he was a sergeant and I was a full corporal. Rutherford. And looking back, I remember all these names that we met when he first went in the army and what the difference they made to everything. And the PT corporal was Taylor. I can remember all that.
Now tell me, I'd like to get you to tell me when you joined the regular battalion.
2nd Battalion.
Yes, and where were they, and take me on from there.
Oh, I see. Yes, well, what can I say? We went to, we used to do recruiting marches in Maryhill with Major Hay in front. He was the attraction, not us. And also a dog, a mongrel dog, appeared in the battalion. Mickey, a mongrel. There's a story behind him later on. And he used to accompany us on the recruiting marches and everything. And when he got a bit footsore, the soldiers used to hand over a rifle, throw him over their shoulders, and march with him. But he's a wise old dog, he got used to this and he liked it. And sometimes I think he developed a limp. So, anyway, and then we went on brigade manoeuvres, and then we went to Edinburgh Castle. We took over the castle for guard duties.
Which year? Which year was that?
That would be 1935, 36, 37. And we also supplied a guard at Holyrood Palace. And what used to happen was, when my company, B Company, was on duty at the castle, we were stationed in Collington, Drighorn, outside Edinburgh. And we used to march as a battalion, changing of the guard, march through Edinburgh, fix bayonets, and change the guard. Now, when we were on guard duty and getting the relief company coming up Princess Street, we were time enough to look from the parapet to see the column coming up Princess Street to go back and get changed and ready to turn out for the guard. We used to watch it. But an incident happened in Princess Street when we were going to change the guard. We were the guard going on at one time. A civilian boy, bit of a hooligan, tried to cut through the ranks as we were going up Princess Street. And an officer, Major Ewan, Major Ewan, he was only a lieutenant then, he grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and threw him back onto the pavement. A thing which happened now would be trouble. But he didn't. Now, Jim Ewan was he turned out to be a 100% Black Watch officer. And that was a one incident that happened on the changing of the guards and everything. But what we used to get, did you realise, Colonel, at night at the castle in the Esplanade, used to get the local girls coming up at night and trying to get into the castle. And the RSM and the adjutant made sure that the guard commander knew what was happening and to stop it, because you had your peephole from the dungeon. But we had a bit of trouble with that, with the girls, local girls. Yeah. But life was enjoyable. And the point was, Colonel, can I go back? Mm-hmm. When my father came home from India with the family, we were pretty hard up. And we had no luxuries in food or anything like that. But once I joined the army, I found I got regular food and everything. And this is what made a big difference to me, you see. And also it relieved attention on my father, because he had less of a family to feed. Because my two sisters were working, I was away to the army, and I just had a brother left. But I found I enjoyed the food, you see. But what I had to get used to was porridge with salt, not with sugar. So I had to get used to that. But when I look back, we used to go down, say, in the depot for, well, I'm going away from the 2nd Battalion, but it's the same in the 2nd Battalion. When meals were served, orderly officer used to come round, any complaints. And it was a standing joke, if you made a complaint about the potatoes, the next day you were in the cookhouse peeling them. And things like that, you see. But, so you didn't make a complaint. But the food was solid, good. And that's why I found a big difference in the regular army. We did our manoeuvres, we did brigade manoeuvres and things like that. And I enjoyed them because I was interested. Also, apart from being interested in doing it, I was interested in my future promotion.
Yes.
To gain as much knowledge as I could on these sort of things. Mm-hmm. And this training I did with the 2nd Battalion stood me in very good stead in later life, when I became a training officer in industry. I'll come on to that later. But, so it soldiered on until we heard rumours that we were going abroad as a battalion. And the medical checkup by the medical officer was very strict, very hard. You had to be jumping up and down on chairs and everything for the heart, and quite a few were put aside. I suppose not fit for foreign service. So eventually the day came, we marched down to the station in Maryhill to get on the troop train. Now I was in a position, I had no family. I had no family, so I had no worries about people seeing me off or me leaving the country or anything like that. But I saw some very bad, or not bad, but very sad instances of mothers and sons and that, because we were going abroad at that time. And we were going to a trouble spot, which was Palestine.
Yes.
And I was a Lance Corporal, I think, at that time, yeah. And that's right, I was made corporal on the voyage. So we marched down with the pipe band and everything, and the civvies cheering, and the girls screaming, and the boyfriends leaving, things like that. And it was very touching when I look back. But it didn't affect me much because I'd had a pretty hard life. And what I lacked, and I know now, I lacked affection in life because I had no mother.
Yes.
And my elder sister left on a job when she became a teenager. So I lacked the love of a family with mother, you see. So it didn't affect me much. I found it bearable, where a lot of them are in a bad way. And again, this took me in good stead when I was RSM of the depot on the intake. I was at the edge of the intake. I used to see lads crying on the bed. I understood that. But it was a wonderful when we docked, when we got down to Southampton, was it? Or Glasgow, I forget now. And we were told we were going on the Navassa, that she dipped if a seagull went across her bows. Well, I was made orderly corporal on the ship for the company, and I was as sick as a dog. And I couldn't care less where the bugle went or anything. Seasickness is a terrible thing. And anyway, I managed it till we got to port side, I think it was, or Alex, one of the two. And then we got off, and we went to a place called Sarafand. We did hear we were going to Jerusalem, but no more. We didn't hear any more. And then we went to this place, Sarafand, sand, tents, mosquitoes, scorpions, centipedes, you name it, we got it there. And the first knowledge I had of the toilets being half a mile away because of the heat, and the toilets weren't close to the camp. So if you were going to the toilet, you had to start off pretty sharp. And then we started doing drill. We didn't understand it really. It was just brigade manoeuvres again, all over again. They just do that out in the sand and the desert, and that until we got word that we were going to Allenby Barracks in Palestine. And we couldn't imagine what it was like. But as we were going to the barracks by road transport, we saw the tip of Jerusalem. And we thought, this is all right. We went into Allenby Barracks, which is like bungalows, long bungalows. And I remember the Nafi there, the manager of the Nafi, was a native called Jesus. And we thought, that's peculiar. In Palestine, he's called Jesus, you see. But he turned out quite a good man. And then we started doing railway patrols, road patrols and foot patrols in Jerusalem, in the Old City, in Jericho, Hebron, Gaza, and all this. And in the railway patrols, we used to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning from the station just outside Jerusalem, and on the way we'd pick up a couple of Arabs off of camels, and we put them in a trolley in front of the engine, because at that time they were blowing up engines and railways. And no wonder, when you look back, the Arabs created hell. They've just taken off the camels and put on this in front of the engine. But the brigands got wise. They started using the plunger. They let the trolley go past and blew up the engine. So a waste of time doing that. But we did that patrol for quite a long time. We lost a couple of men, I think, with the mines.